Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning into our program today. You may know that Family Talk is a listener-supported program, and we remain on the air by your generosity, literally. If you can help us financially, we would certainly appreciate it. God's blessings to you all.
Today on Family Talk.
Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, along with your host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. Today, we're going to pick up the conversation that Dr. Dobson began last time on the governmental overhaul of education, the program known as the Common Core Standards. Our guests today are three amazing women who have been involved in education through teaching and administration for several decades. Elizabeth Berg and Cindy Will are both principals, and Deborah Cole is a pioneer in the charter school movement. They have been on a mission to expose the flaws of Common Core, and we are honored to have all of them back with us for another day. Now, yesterday we finished the program talking about the assessments that the teachers have to fill out on each student. These assessments include a lot of personal information that most parents would never want in the hands of the government, and yet it is part of the new set of standards. Dr. Dobson and former co-host Dr. Meg Meeker pick up the conversation from there on today's edition of Family Talk.
Well, ladies, we talked yesterday about some of the implications of Common Core and what it really means for families, what it really means for children. What it really means for the future of children when they grow up to be adults. All this information is collected three times a year, goes into a data bank someplace to be used by whom and for what. It is really very scary, and it's hard to explain, frankly. You all have devoted your lives to informing parents about this. This is what you do, isn't it?
It is.
And because you care, why do you care so strongly? Why are you giving your personal time? Why are you here today above and beyond your profession and your call to let parents know about this? Give us the essence of it.
Dr. Dobson, this is the educational issue of our day and of our time. And it is not moral for us to back away from it. Us being the three of us, we feel that obligation to be able to ring the bell and say, this thing called Common Core has 12 heads. It's huge. Why has it been going on for 2 years and you don't know about it? It's not an accident that it hasn't been as transparent as they'd like it to be. The reason why I'm talking about it is I'm reminded of Edmund Burke, who said, all it takes for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. And it's very important that the concerns are shared. There has not been an honest dialogue, which is, in my opinion, what America is about. To me, America is self-government. This is the opposite of self-government. And Abraham Lincoln worked really hard to make sure when there was threats imposing this young democracy that we met those threats. And that's why we're here.
Well, Abraham Lincoln also said the philosophy of the classroom in one generation is the philosophy of the government in the next. It works that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And if they can gain control of the hearts and minds of kids, they can really, you talk about big government.
Yes.
I mean, from there on, we're kind of slaves to the government because they know more about us than we want them to know. Add that to the medical information we're giving. Yes. And everything that flows from that, and Medicare and Medicaid, if it's relevant, all those other things, I mean, we're naked before the federal government.
I just believe that our form of self-government, which has been a wonderful 200-year historical miracle in our civilization, is undermined when we have to ask ourselves, are we self-governing in this way? Are we giving over the controls to central planners or the form of others who are dictating? Is our child more important or is it the systems that's more important?
Yeah. Let me give you one more quote that I think is very relevant. It's not a quote. It's a paraphrase. I was a child during World War II, and I've been trying to figure out what my parents and my friends' parents and everybody was were talking about during that time, because as a child, I didn't quite get it. All I knew is that at every meal, the war was what people discussed. So I've done a lot of reading about it, trying to catch up from that time to this. I'm fascinated by it because it was such a time. And this is an early statement that Adolf Hitler made. I've got it somewhere. I didn't bring it today. But he said, in essence, that some of you oppose what we are doing in the Nazi movement. It doesn't matter, because we already have their children. You recognize that quote, or almost quote? Yeah, that's what they want. They want to control our kids and therefore control the future of this country.
Well, Dr. Dobson, there's the Common Core standards, but they're the tests that go with them. And the assessment, the GOLD assessment that Cindy referenced, is one of the data collections that parents need to be aware of and I think be very concerned. Social, emotional regulation are some of those things that, teachers will be collecting information. Does the student share toys? A parent here in Colorado was horrified to find out that in the GOLD data assessment that was being collected on her child, his toileting practices had been included in there. Oh. And when she protested to the teacher, she was told that she could not have that removed from his data collection. But there's just so much more that parents will not be able to opt out of. If a parent says, fine, I refuse for you to do this GOLD assessment or some other assessments, then there could be big ramifications on that child, on the school, on the district.
Because the teacher.
On the teacher. So everyone is being roped into complying. And I think the comparison to Nazi Germany is very apt. When I read the biography of Bonhoeffer by Metaxas, I was smitten, the similarities of people slowly being drawn into and eventually coerced when they no longer had choices.
And conditioned.
Conditioned. Let me follow up on conditioned, because Cindy addressed sort of the global concern of a system that is becoming centralized, top-down, coercive. I am also concerned about the effect on the actual character of the children.
Yes.
That they are going to be pushed gradually or not so gradually into a mold of compliance, docility. They will accept more and more treatment that prior generations would have considered outrageous. Mm-hmm. We're already well down that path. If you go to any airport and go through the notorious
body searches.
Yeah. You can see how much we've submitted to already as a people. My concern is that we may get to a point with a generation that has been subjected to these kinds of conditioning where it's a point of no return. The character has changed, has been changed.
Mm. There's another element that's concerning to me as we're talking about this as well, and that some of the questions that I've read are really quite provocative.
Yes, indeed.
So, you know, in the curriculum. So you've got questions that are very provocative, asking kids to discuss things like marital infidelity.
Yes, yes, we've seen that.
Things like that. So not only is that going to change their character, but as those children give an answer, then their answer, it might be recorded, and that could go down for the teacher to make a comment about that child. Well, that child is anti-gay or anti-Semitic or whatever. So you're really handcuffing these kids. You're writing a narrative about them that gets locked into stone. That's really concerning to me. Is that what you've seen in the curricula as well?
You've absolutely nailed it.
Yes.
There's a lot of sexually graphic exemplars. The one you referenced, we've seen about marital infidelity, that was an 8-year-old child was having to respond to a question of a situation.
So these are questions addressed to the child, not just data mining from whatever source.
Now, let me comment on that particular exercise. This was a worksheet that was Common Core aligned, as far as we know, that presented a description of a scene where the child had to come to the conclusion that there had been an act of marital infidelity of one of the parents in that room because he found a clue suggesting it. And the child was supposed to write that. You see, this is higher order thinking, according to the promoters of Common Core, to make this deduction. But what content to use to exercise this capacity for inferring the correct answer, it's really very malevolent in many of these cases. And the exemplars are used...
In elementary school.
Yeah. Now, the actual exemplars, which come in an appendix behind the standards, I have come across passages in these appendices, and these are what they call the exemplars, and they say, please have your students read the entire work, but we're only presenting a passage here. And then they give suggestions about how that passage can be used.
Let me read the example you just gave.
Yeah.
It was within an article called the Liberty Unyielding article. And it says that elementary school students had a story on their worksheet of a woman who realizes that her husband had cheated on her.
Yeah.
And she plans on sitting on the bed until her husband comes home. The questions all surrounded infidelity, and the mother, who was bothered by this story, wrote in the margin, inappropriate. I'm not explaining this to an 8-year-old.
Exactly.
That's an example. That is a real illustration of the kind of things that took place in that interchange with an 8-year-old.
Exactly. And this would be a so-called Common Core aligned assignment from a workbook that was not identified. I don't know who the publisher was. But in the actual standards exemplars in the appendix, there are three very problematic novels that are recommended. I believe that the lowest level that they're recommended for is 8th grade. So in fairness, let's say it begins in the standards themselves, this kind of material begins in the 8th grade.
And that's part of the Common Core curriculum.
That's part of the standard, the Common Core standards. Now, what is being generated by curricular publishers, purportedly Common Core aligned, that can go anywhere, as you just showed.
Extrapolates on
exactly,
that.
Exactly. Mm.
But we've seen an example of a curriculum that was developed that was Common Core aligned in Utah, where first graders are being taught to use emotional language to convince people. And you want to make people angry or frightened so they'll do what you want them to do. Where, just stepping back a moment, first graders should be taught capitalize the first word of a sentence, end mark punctuation, things basic.
Cursive.
But they were, and cursive indeed, but that in this curriculum, first graders were being taken through exercises to recognize the emotionally charged word. And so one of the questions was, my mother blank me to clean my room, asked, told, nagged. Which is the emotionally charged word? That was the correct answer, of course, nagged.
And this is under the guise of teaching little kids how to write persuasive writing.
It's teaching them to become little community activists or demagogues, in my opinion.
This is the character Deb was talking about, that it's forming a character that I'm not sure reflects the soul that we want in America.
Elizabeth, when you were in my office a few minutes ago, you told me a story about a mother who went to the school principal and wanted to see copies of what was going on. I don't remember exactly the
details.
It was data that she wanted to, I think, Deborah, you had mentioned that she said, show me all the information that's been collected on my child. And Deborah, I think that the story that you were recounting was that they denied her access to that because they weren't sure if she was the mother.
And that was the excuse.
That was the excuse. And then they went on and said, well, for us to copy that, we'll charge you $10,000. Because of the hours
now,
that it required.
Is that a made-up story or is that for real?
It's somebody I know. $10,000
they were charged or were going to charge if she'd have paid it see information about her child.
Her child. Now, every Tom, Dick, and Harry can get that information if the state chooses to recognize them as a bona fide educational representative or researcher or something. And all you have to do is fill out a form stating that you are one. Maybe that's what this mother should have done.
Yes.
Where is this data being stored? Obviously, it's on some kind of website that they probably say is quite secure, and I'm sure it isn't.
Actually, there's a huge building in Utah that's been built for this. We've seen pictures of it. It's enormous. It kind of takes your breath away to think that here we are in this great United States of America, that you can look at this gargantuan building and know all the stuff about me and my family are residing right there. And they do go all the way to Washington, D.C. with that data. So
it's way out in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you all a personal question. Are you being paid to be an advocate here?
Not at all. Dr. Dobson, the kids that I think about are like the little girl Elena, who gave me a note today telling me how much she just loves coming to school. There's children who will be victims of a system that they have no knowledge of and they have no voice for.
See, the reason I ask you that is because you are women who are concerned about children.
Yes.
That's what motivates you.
Yes.
And I'm sure there's a faith base to much of what you do. But you're out there without being charged. You're not a professional lobbyist or anything of that nature.
Or a radio person.
A radio person. But you are trying to alert parents to what Common Core is all about. Now, what can parents do about it? We need to spend the rest of our time talking about that, because it's one thing to get angry over something. It's another thing to do something about it. And, you know, there's a little principle that I have followed and spoken of a number of times through the years, and it's called the principle of limited tears. What it means, this is my concept, what it means that there are, I think, 40,000 people who die every day around the world. You can't cry about all that. Some of them in the most horrible, sad way. But you don't sit around and cry about all that because it's at a distance from you, and you, unless it's in your family or something, you don't cry about it. It's the same with the culture and things that concern you. There is so much going on today that you could run down a road screaming.
Yes.
I mean, there's just every day you read something else and say, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
We're sliding into oblivion here. And yet we don't do anything about it because we're overwhelmed.
Yes.
We don't have tears for all that. Yeah. And yet you all have put this at the top or near the top of your list to go out and do something about it, because this reaches a level of concern that has sent you out telling other people about it. I just want you to know I appreciate your willingness to do that. I'm going to cry over it, too.
Thank you.
Well, Dr. Dobson, this is a time for parents to get as involved as they can possibly be, because there's movement going on. In our state, there's been a superintendent of a large district who is trying to pull out his district of the testing. That's a whole nother discussion about the tests. And he's been told, no, he cannot, because it would violate federal matters, that the statutes.
See, parents have lost control of their own
kids.
They've
lost control. They
have. Yeah. So it is important. First of all, parents need to become informed. And this is one of the ways, by listening. And there are sites that you can go to, and that there's a lot of information that people have been collecting about Common Core state standards, about the tests, about the data pipeline, about the textbooks that are being used to teach the schools. But so becoming informed is a very important thing. But I think there's a lot more that parents also can do.
Yes. Paradoxically, the way parents have begun to organize themselves spontaneously in groups opposing Common Core, every state has at least one active and very well-informed group. Many of them have Facebook pages. It's a great way for those who are beginning to be concerned and want more information and want to be part of a group that talks about what can be done. I urge you to seek out these state groups, become informed, make a lot of noise, become a real pain in the neck.
You can ask your politicians where they stand on this, and you can say, this matters to me. I just wanted to know where you stood.
Right.
And follow up with, what are you doing about it? Because we know it's easy to give an opinion, but in my world, I want to know, what are you doing about it? Because that shows me the level of importance.
Mm-hmm. We would like to post on our website some of these places that listeners can go to first educate themselves about Common Core, because as you said, there are a lot of parents that want to know, but it's hard to find out because it's been very secretive and silent. So what are some of the better websites that parents can go to?
I have a list
you
of them.
The
can
right
I go
there.
Down the road? We'll put this on our website, okay? Building the Machine, Heartland Institute, Pioneer Institute, Parents and Educators Against Common Core, Homeschool Legal Defense Association. I know a lot about that one. Truth in American Education. And we'll put that on the website and people can get more information that honestly discusses this issue and this subject.
If we had to pick one, it would be the first one, Building the Machine. It's about a half hour, and it will give a great presentation on everything we're talking about.
It was done by the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, because they know that if public schools are coerced into this, if charter schools cannot maintain their independence, then pretty soon private schools and eventually homeschoolers will not be outside the reach.
You've got to know that will be in the bullseye.
Yes.
I mean, it is.
They can't allow that to stand without challenge, right?
And doctor, it already is. Every test, GED, ACT, SAT, they're all aligned to Common Core now. So if you're in homeschool and you think that you want your child to go to college, you're going to take the ACT or SAT, they're going to have to take a Common Core aligned test.
And that means content linked to
the Common Core standards.
Yep.
And many states require their homeschoolers to take standardized tests. This may be it. The Common Core aligned assessment may be what they have to take.
There is no end game to school curriculum because you can't teach everything. So everything you add is subtractive. It takes something away. When I was a kid, my fourth grade teacher went to the board and filled an entire blackboard in those days with diagram sentences. And one sentence covered the entire board. And I learned parts of speech from that. I learned how they're used. I learned the elements of grammar. I make a living apart from Family Talk by writing, people taking the time to teach that to me. That's not taught anymore.
No.
Instead, they've got these texts and this different kind of language that's not even taught. Kids do not even know how to write a sentence. Yeah. It's amazing to me.
Dr. Thompson, the promoters of Common Core claim that it's rigorous, it's going to raise the standards, it's going to make us internationally competitive, et cetera, and so on and so forth. But the fact of the matter is that if you look through, for example, the treatment of literature, it is so impoverished, it is so trivialized. The very few classics that are included in these recommended exemplars in the appendix behind the standards. Here is the treatment of one novel, for example, in a major English literature textbook put out by Pearson. Frankenstein. Here's how they treat Frankenstein. First, there's a discussion of scary movies. Then the critical thinking writing exercise is recall as many of these scary movies as you can and write them down. Then they have a writing exercise to come up with your own modern urban myth, like Bigfoot or flying saucers. Then you're supposed to write about what monsters might think about their environment. The big topic is a script of a Saturday Night Live riff on Frankenstein.
We still haven't read the book by Mary
Shelley. We haven't done any reading of the novel at all. In this particular piece that they reproduce from Saturday Night Live, the monster calls the villagers fascists. Now, this is very important because the teacher is told in the teacher's edition to explain the meaning of the word fascist, but to explain that the meaning has been expanded in modern times to refer to any right-wing extremist group.
Wow.
And finally, they're supposed to dress up as monsters.
This is a tool for political correctness.
Absolutely.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I worry about. Put it in the hands of the far left, and it will come out smelling like political correctness.
But you also see that there's a pandering to the popular culture. It trivializes a very important novel that had very important moral and philosophical elements in it that could have been discussed profitably by students of this age. Instead, they've turned it into a farce.
You've been listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, and if you would like more information about the current status of the Common Core standards nationwide, please visit our website at drjamesdobson.org, or you can call us at 877-732-6825. Thanks for joining us today, and we will see you again next time for the conclusion of The Problem with Common Core. That's right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.